Join us now for Tundra Topics, brought to you as a public service by the Bank of Fairbanks. The latest news of your friends and neighbors throughout the territory. Elmer Katuri, a local miner, returned to Fairbanks a few days ago after closing up mining operations at Moore Creek. He has decided against working in that district this summer and will leave shortly for South Fork in the Koyukuk country. The Reverend and Mrs. Robert Holt of Anvik have been visiting with Reverend and Mrs. Albert N. Jones in Fairbanks. The Holts have stopped here en route outside. Their final destination is Baltimore. Reverend Holt has been relieving the Reverend Mr. Henry H. Chapman while the latter took a year's leave of absence from Christ Church at Anvik. Reverend Holt does not expect to return to Alaska. Peter Jacobson, well-known pioneer in the Yukon River area and Fairbanks, has flown to Sitka, where he will live at the pioneer's home. Seattle sources report the death of former Alaskan pioneer Clarence L. Andrews, who passed away at his home in Eugene, Oregon on April 17th. Andrews was born in Ashtabula, Ohio in 1862 and came to the Pacific Northwest with his parents in 1864. He served with the United States Customs Service at Sitka before the turn of the century and from 1923 to 1929 was attached to the United States Bureau of Education, serving at Kivalina, Point Barrow, Wainwright, Nome, and Deering. He was well known as an Alaskan educator and writer, and upon his return to Seattle in 1929, he wrote a number of books from the vast store of historical material he had acquired while living in the territory. The best known of Clarence Andrews' books are The Story of Alaska, The Story of Sitka, and The Eskimo and His Reindeer in Alaska. Janita Silas, daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Dennis Silas of Nulato, died recently after falling from the roof of her home and striking her head. At first it was thought that she was unconscious, but the family found that her neck was broken. She was 11 years of age. At Elfin Cove, two children have lost their pet deer who seem to prefer a natural wild habitat to the society of people. Walter Larson Jr. and Vern Foster found one of the animals on a beach near their home. It was exhausted, and they carried it to the Larson home. The Larson children fed the deer and made a pet of it. Later, a second animal appeared, but after visiting the house for a while, he bounded off into the woods, unwilling to become a pet, and took the other deer along with him. Mrs. Jessie Milligan, Alaskan teacher, died at Bakersfield, California, on April 17th. Mrs. Milligan, who made her home in Anchorage last summer, has been teaching at Eagle until March 1st. She was a longtime Alaskan resident and had taught school in the territory for many years. She is survived by three daughters. Lars Austness, J. D. Johnson, O. T. Vistonet, and Nellie Johnson of the Austness-Johnson mine at Marshall passed through Anchorage en route to their mining operations. Ted Nelson, Dillingham Fisherman, Nick Shanigan, and Andrew Johnson of the Bristol Bay Tug and Lighterage Service of Igigik flew to Bristol Bay last week from Anchorage with Northern Consolidated Airlines. G.L. Gentry, CAA man stationed at Naknek, was at Anchorage as a visitor also last week. Tundra Topics has received news from Gulkana, where the Indians have had a good season trapping beaver. Mr. and Mrs. Oscar Ewan and Chief Frank Ewan are visitors at Gulkana. Pilot Roy Turner from 38 Mile on the Glen Highway has made 10 trips to Ewan Lake and Gakona to bring trappers and dog teams back to Gulkana. Mr. and Mrs. Jack Tyone at Hogan Lake report that they have each acquired their limit of beaver. Johnny Joe is now working on the Alaska Railroad at Anchorage. He will return to Fairbanks July 2nd to visit his sister, Mary Smeltzer. Residents of Ruby and the vicinity recently met at the Bishop Mountain Trading Company to form a veterans club. Any veteran in the area, regardless of which war he fought in, is welcome to join. April 15th marked the last day for the Ruby Ice Pool. The committee expects to have a good year. They report about 22 inches of ice and 4 feet of snow on the closing date. Overflows are becoming prominent in many places. Frank Tyson at Bettles will be interested to know that Ed Farrell, expects to come in by the first plane. Every night at this same time, year after year, Tundra Topics has been heard, and every day, year after year, the Bank of Fairbanks has been rendering financial assistance and advice to Alaskans. Remember, for friendly personal banking service and information, rely on the Bank of Fairbanks. Tune our way tomorrow night at this same time for more Tundra Topics. Glimpses of people and places that make up our great territory of Alaska. Time once more for Tundra Topics, brought to you by the Bank of Fairbanks in a friendly spirit of neighborliness and goodwill. Hey, we'll have to cut later, Wally. These jokers in here. Just cut it.
Normal reaction.
What do you know about children, Hooker?
Well, I spent a good many years with children and their problems on the juvenile bench, Gildy, as you well know. After all, I was...
Glimpses of people and places that make up our great territory of Alaska. Time once more for Tundra Topics, brought to you by the Bank of Fairbanks in a friendly spirit of neighborliness and goodwill. Tanana was a center of bustling activity on April 9th and 10th, when many visitors were attracted by the dog races. The whole town turned out for the main events, the men's dog race and the women's and boys' races. The men's race was won by Andrew Cochrane, who was awarded a prize of $75. John R. Swenson came in second, Lee Edwin third, and James Edwin fourth. F.E. Cochrane won the women's dog team race, for which a prize of $40 was awarded. Clara Swenson held second place, May Edwin third, and Pauline Key fourth. The winner of the boys' race was Lee Edwin Jr., second place Peter Joseph, third place Alan Starr, and fourth place Jackie Edwin. Dances were held on the evenings of the 9th and 10th. A $25 door prize was won by Peter Nikolai the first night, and Philip Kennedy won the second night. Andy Vachon, who forwarded the results to Tundra Topics, writes that a good time was had by all. The Alaska Development Board has announced that opening date for the Haines cutoff this year will be about June 1st. The announcement was made after the board had received a roundup of road reports from Canadian and United States officials. The 154-mile cutoff, linking Haines with the Alaska Highway and providing the only overland connection between southeast Alaska and Fairbanks, Anchorage, and Valdez, is expected to carry greatly increased traffic this year. In order to expedite movement of freight to the interior, free storage of goods at Haines for 30 days is being offered by the Port Chilcoot Terminal, said E.C. Koenig, Jr. The terminal can take care of 500 tons of general cargo, but at present has no cold storage facilities. Throughout the long winter months at McGrath, activities of the Protestant chapel have been wide and varied, and the first established church has been one of the important civic centers in town, say McGrath residents. Reverend Richard J. Teeter, a graduate of Northwest Bible Seminary, is in charge of the McGrath Chapel, which is one of the 15 established churches in the territory affiliated with the Assemblies of God. Reverend and Mrs. Teeter spend much of their time traveling to nearby villages. Visits in connection with their work are made weekly to Tocotna, where a branch church has been established, and to Ophir, Medfra, and Nikolai, whenever weather and trails permit. Reverend and Mrs. Teeter and their children have just concluded the longest of their dog team trips in a journey to Nikolai, an isolated village which was close to starvation rations when the Teeters arrived. They were without flour or meat. The Teeters arrived in Alaska 4 years ago, spending their first year at McGrath, where Reverend Teeter served as civilian chaplain with the United States Army. Next, they traveled to Fort Yukon and are now back to McGrath, where they have purchased the former ACS building for a church. At Fish Camp above Fort Yukon, the Teeters were instrumental in starting a public school for the people in that sector. They are now working on another such project for the village of Nikolai. Mrs. Wesley McMath gave birth to a baby boy in St. Joseph's Hospital last Saturday morning. The child weighed 6 pounds at birth and both mother and baby are doing well. The father is now located at Ruby for the summer with the Utila mining interests. Hazel and Lillian Walker of Holy Cross have returned to their home after spending the winter in Fairbanks. They departed this week with Northern Consolidated Airlines. Elmer Hosler and his father were passengers with Northern Consolidated Airlines on a flight to the Red Top Mine in the Kantishna country. Clyde Spears, CAA inspector, has made trips to the stations at Lake Minchumina and McGrath this week. Dan McKinnon, who plans to make a trip to Livengood shortly, will be traveling with a light load because he was not able to secure parts he had planned to get for Ben Fall's machine. Part of his load will include groceries and eggs for Charles Erickson. In order to provide our listeners with the latest news from all parts of Alaska and the Yukon Territory, the Bank of Fairbanks earnestly invite you to continue to send in your Tundra Topics contributions as you have done so faithfully in the past. Until tomorrow then, at 9:30, good night.